Robert Perkins.
You never see the wind except for what it touches. And you never know your emotion until someone touches it or something touches it. We have love and hate and joy in us, but not until it's activated do we know that it's there. The river that I travel on is north of Yellowknife, some several hundred miles. It's the Attic of North America. And attics are interesting places. They're full of old things, forgotten things, and secrets. And one of the elements that's always with me while I'm traveling is thinking about bears. These are not the polar bears. If I saw a polar bear in the interior of the Northwest Territory, I'd be really concerned. These are the barren ground grizzly bears, which are omnivores. They could be eating berries that day. They could be after meat. So I always think when I see one, they're looking for berries, not for me. They can stand on their hind feet, and when they do that, they go up to 7 feet. They weigh several hundred pounds, much bigger than the black bears. And on this river called the Great Fish River is a cabin. There's only one abandoned cabin halfway down the river on a very big lake called Gary Lake. And it was abandoned since the 1950s when the OMI priest fell through the ice when he was out checking his nets in early fall. But it's a very good place to have when you want to, if a gale comes, you get to have a wall solid between you and the wind and the rain. And over the many years that I've traveled this same river, I've always looked forward to ending my trips there or at least spending time out of the weather because I have the four walls and I'm not just in my tent. So the time, one of the times I came there, I was deciding, you have lots of time if you're a solo canoeist. And I thought, why don't I create a library in this abandoned building? It's the furthest northernmost library in the Northwest Territory. So we started a library. I put a shelf up. I put one book on it called The Grapes of Wrath, which if you've read something once and you read it twice, you might begin to disagree with the author, which is what I did with John Steinbeck. But over the years, we had 20 books in the library. And I had a simple rule, take one, leave one. And this particular summer I'm thinking of, I was looking forward to the time in that cabin. And I arrived on a nice day and put up my tent by the water and walked my food pack and gear up to this cabin, which had two rooms, a little mudroom, which was something you could make livable, and a really bigger room, which was trashed, everything that people don't want anymore there, the oil cans, the engine parts, everything is like left in that cabin. So you wouldn't want to go there. And I had a piece of plywood that I'd separate those two rooms with. And I'd actually, over the years, brought some cheesecloth to help dim the amount of mosquitoes and black flies, something we don't know much about here. I was moved to Virgin years ago and was impressed by no bugs. You can take your bag out and unroll it on a piece of red rock high up. But here, you're always inundated by the black fly and mosquito. So this day, I went to sleep, and during the time I was in the tent, a really big gale came in, and it was wind and it was hard rain, but it disappeared over the nighttime and just left a lot of wind the next day. And so I walked up to the cabin and started to make coffee. And I had it going, and I was looking forward to my last pancake with maple syrup. And all of a sudden, I began to hear this thump, thump, thump in the next room, the big empty room, the one with the trash in it. And I look out the door, and there's a bear walking out of the broken-out window. And he's walking towards me, sniffing the air as though he would like to have some of that coffee. And I have with me when I travel, they're called bangers. They're a pen-shaped thing with a little charge on top that goes out about 100 feet and explodes. And that's often useful for scaring a bear. But you don't want to shoot it behind the bear and have it explode because then they come faster at you. And I fired two, and he went away, and I saw him go disappear. And I went back to the coffee and the pancake and the syrup, and then I was sitting there trying to make notes for the end of my summer trip when the bear appeared again. And he was walking around the cabin, and when he first showed up, he looked very bedraggled and emancipated because the wind and the rain had wetted his fur. But as the day progressed and he was blow-dried by the wind, he looked his full, fearsome self. So there I am in the cabin, and there he is walking around it. And at one point, he decided to dig a hole. 30 feet in front of the cabin, he started pushing a lot of dirt out between his back legs. And another time, he sat down with his feet in front of him and raised his right paw as though he wanted to ask me a question. And I was disconcerted by having the bear there. It didn't help my writing for the day. And then at night, I put 2x4s and a lot of pots and pans on the door and slept on the floor next to the back wall. And what he did in the nighttime, he didn't come through that door, but he took his claws and he raked them across the wood at the back of the cabin the way that you can when you ratch your fingernails across a blackboard. And that was not very pleasant. And so I called the float base in Yellowknife on a satellite phone. And my friend Trevor, who was the one answering, said, "Hey, you sound a little nervous, Rob. What's up?" And I told him about the bear, and I said, "I really want to get out of here." And he said, he laughed, and he said, "Well, the bear just wants to get close to you." And he said they couldn't send a plane in because, not right away, because the wind was too high, the waves were too strong. So he said, "You got to live with him for the next couple of days." So I would watch very carefully and do that binocular thing that we were told about, where I was watching the bear maybe half a mile away on a beach down and by the water. And once he went around the corner, I decided that's when I could get my tent and bring it into this cabin. And I had folded it up, just grabbed it, and was walking back up to the cabin when the bear came out from behind a dune, barreling at me, trying to cut me off from the cabin. And that's when I had to use the bear spray, which I carry on my hip. And it does work. But the only part of using bear spray is you have to wait until they're within 10 feet of you. Because if you will spray it and they're as far away as I am from you, the wind will just blow off the spray. So it did land on his eyes, his nose, his lips. And it stopped him right in his tracks. He sat down and then ran away and stayed away for at least half a day. And as I was watching for the plane to come in the day it was to pick me up, I saw the bear at a point on the beach come around the corner was a caribou. And the bear and the caribou ran into the water, and the bear killed the caribou and dragged it back to the beach and started to eat it. It didn't take much for me to substitute Robaboo for caribou. And the day that the plane was there and I was carrying my stuff down to the beach, I was safe from the bear because he just sat on the caribou. But in the grass, I saw a piece of paper that had been part of one of the books that had been in the library, and I tucked it into my pocket to read later. And on the plane flight home, I opened it up, and it was a comment on passion and bears and solo travel. And it was a line from an Emily Dickinson poem which said, "You cannot fold a flood." Thank you.